Stav, Abby and Matt, the B105 Breakfast Show.
Yo, podcasters. What is up?
They're glad to have us back.
I've started listening to podcasts.
Oh, yeah? What are you on to?
I don't remember the name of it. Like, it popped up with a suggestion.
What's it about?
I've got it. I've done a few crime ones, but I just feel a bit embarrassed by that.
Why?
I don't want to be stereotypical.
I think crime podcasts are the most popular all podcasts.
I think there are cases, and I kind of like hearing the backstory of them, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I have been listening to some of those.
Yeah.
My friend sent me one of people who fake their own death.
Okay. Niche.
Really nice, niche, like fascinating stuff.
They start off with Elvis.
I haven't gone into the conspiracy ones.
No.
I did fasting ones.
Okay.
Talking about fasting benefits. Yeah.
I just can't do them.
Yeah.
Don't enjoy it?
No.
Mine is because when I travel, I download them. So I think because I travel, I download them to listen on the plane.
On the plane. Because my wife loves them. She's always like, you know, Conan O'Brien's got one and he talks to like David Letterman and all these people that you love. I'm like, cool.
You know that we're doing a podcast saying thank you for listening right now.
Yeah, I know. It's ironic.
But then again, you don't even like radio. So.
That's true.
The Hamish Blake one, How Other Dads Dad, is meant to be amazing.
Yes.
I haven't listened to it, but I've had multiple people tell me how great it is.
Yeah. My friends love that one.
Yeah. And he like interviews celebrity fathers and... apparently, it's a really different side of Hamish that you see too.
They had Maggie Dent on that one. You know Maggie Dent, our favourite author.
Yes. Yeah, my only
Raising
author
Boys.
I like.
Yeah, and then she did another one for the girls. I forgot what that one's called.
Raising Girls.
Raising Girls.
Is it just Raising Girls? Must be.
I mean, if you're staying on brand, maybe.
You think you would, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Well, she had four sons, and then she's got a lot of granddaughters.
There you go. Today's podcast, we have another round of undateables. You will not believe what makes Skye undateable. You must listen to this.
She's earthy.
Earthy.
Earthy, yep. And just be either sitting down or get ready to pick your jaw up off the ground or something.
Because
it's going to get you. It's going to get you good. Let's get into the podcast.
The B105 Breakfast Show with Stav, Abby and Matt.
You're undateable.
Basically what you're saying, 95% of the population is undateable.
Undateable.
How are all these people getting together?
Alcohol.
You're so undateable.
Undateables is back. This is a lot of fun.
This is when you reveal what is that, I don't know, maybe something that you don't tell people on a first date. We're going to do the opposite. We're going to get you to say straight away what makes you undateable, maybe in your eyes, or maybe you've been told that previously.
Mm-hmm.
Put it out in the open.
Move on.
Then they can make a decision whether they want to go on a date with you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're meeting a lovely lady who you would have seen on our Facebook page, Skye. Good morning. Hi.
Hey, how are you?
We're good.
Now, you're a gorgeous girl. We've got the photos up. Describe yourself or how a friend would describe you.
Loud, outgoing, a lot, like a lot of energy. Definitely.
How long have you been single for, Skye?
About 2 years now.
Okay. And you feel like you're ready to meet someone? And
yeah. Yeah, put the feels out there and see what happens.
Okay.
In a good old-fashioned way on a breakfast radio show.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. When you say loud... You mean like you party or you literally yell and scream?
All of the above. I'm a Gemini, so I'm very dual, so I can go from like 0 to 100 real quick.
Mm-hmm.
When I say I'm a lot, I feel like a lot of people can only handle me in small doses because I'm just, you know, that kid at school that everyone's like, will you just shut up? Like just keep talking. Like, yeah, that's me.
It says here on your information... You reckon that nice guys give you the ick?
Oh.
Okay, so I've had a lot of men lie to me in the past, so it's really hard for me to believe a lot of things that men say. So when they're nice, I just put a wall up and I feel like they're just faking it. Like the other day, I was literally, like I'm on a dating site and my girlfriend was like, oh, look, this one's nice. And he was like, hey, stop being so cute. And I was like, ooh, don't tell me what to do. I'm not responding to that. No way.
Okay.
All right. So you want a bastard is what you're saying?
No, she doesn't want a bastard. No, don't get that. I understand what you're saying sometimes. You don't want like the wishy-washy or wait a minute, what are you hiding? Or is that the true you? You want someone that you think is really authentic, not like that nice guy.
Yeah, that's it. Exactly what you just said.
Yeah, see, it takes a Gemini to know a Gemini.
It's all making sense. All right, fellas, hang up.
No, kidding, 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 kidding,
hey,
kidding,
hey.
Kidding, kidding.
You think I'm a lot?
When we come back, we are going to meet the three guys, and you're going to get to pick which one of them you would like to go on a date with. Okay. But before we do that, you've got to reveal to us why you think you're undateable.
Well, okay. So as I brought up with the Gemini thing, I'm really into astrology, witchcraft. Like, witchcraft is the big red flag that scares most people off. They're like, oh my goodness, like, she's a witch. And obviously there's a lot of stigma around that and people think the worst. It's definitely not what it sounds like, but that is my red flag. That is my undateable quality.
So when you're saying witchcraft, are you like full moon doing sacrificing things? Jeez. Like, how bad are we going here with your witchcraft?
Definitely no sacrificing. I won't make anyone a human sacrifice. No.
She was thinking more goats and things.
Well, we actually had an issue with that at the back of our house. We used to have people called witches, and there was a farmer there, and there was an issue. Every full moon, we have to have police presence there because people were sacrificing sheep. So I just wanted to put it out there to make sure we're aware of what's going on. Like, you explain to us what sort of witchcraft you're into.
So I'm a very optimistic, positive sort of person. Like, I definitely don't go down the dark side of things. But definitely, like, full moon, new moon, I definitely, like, track the moon, where it is with each day. I do rituals, but not sacrifices. So, daily rituals, which are so basic. Like, I'm a makeup artist by trade, and even just doing my daily makeup, like, every step I incorporate, like, a ritual into that. So when I use, like, cleanser before I cleanse my face, I'm, like, initiating the cleanser as, like, cleansing away any negativity.
How do guys take this, and how does it incorporate into a relationship? Like, do they need to be involved in some sort of ritual before you're intimate? Like, how would it affect your relationship?
As long as they just allow me to literally do me when it comes to that sort of stuff. So, like, I have an altar set up at home. They need to know, don't touch.
Yep.
Don't touch any of my tools.
Yeah. Leave your broom alone.
Absolutely. Unless they're going to sweep. They can help out with the house. That's fine.
So do you have, like, the black pointy hat and, like, a wand or
You had a go at me about sacrifices. Now look at you.
I didn't have a go at you about the sacrifice. I was just confirming that you were talking about goats and not humans.
I mean, when it comes to, like, if I get invited to a dress-up party, 100% I'm going as a witch.
Right.
So there's that. Mm-hmm. As for wands and stuff, like, I don't have wands per se, but I have, like, all the crystals you can think of the books and the oracle cards and all the wishy-woo-woo stuff.
Okay. You'd have to say, you being into this, it's maybe been hard to find guys that accept it. I mean, you definitely, I don't feel like you're going to meet a guy that's as into it as you are.
I mean, one of the things that I think has probably scared them the most, like, when it comes to rituals, like, giving back to the earth. So one of my, like, biggest rituals is obviously, like, being a woman, we're super powerful. Like, I water my house plants with literal, like, menstrual blood.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a different one for people to get their head around. Yep.
Yeah.
Because you think that it's sacred.
Yeah.
And
for
nutrition,
men, they're like, ugh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, even I would be, like, I want to accept it, but even I would be like, my house plants like water. But that's mine, you know. I do talk to them, so, you know, there's still that.
I just wouldn't want to give plants a taste of a blood.
I mean, it definitely doesn't go into, like, any herbs or veggie gardens or anything like that.
Yeah,
I'm very...
Right.
Just the succulents.
He's scratching his face. He's getting a bit
honest. No, I'm just excited to get this information to the guys.
If you were going to meet someone like Skye, and she told you that maybe on a first date, would you go back to her house, Matthew?
No. No, okay. No. I... for no other reason. You do you, Sky, but I just know that I couldn't handle that.
And
that
Stav, on the other hand, he thinks that would be crazy fun.
Yeah, I'd be there in a heartbeat. It would be more enticing for me to go if I found that out.
Well, hang there, Sky. What we're going to do is we're going to meet the three guys when we come back. You pick which one you want to go on the date with, and then you tell them about the witchy poo stuff and the plant, and then we'll see how we go, okay?
Sure.
Good on you. Good on you. Here we go. All right. This is Undateables. We'll do it next here at B105. Stav, Abby and Matt.
You're undateable.
Basically, what you're saying, 95% of the population is undateable.
Undateable.
How are all these people getting together?
Alcohol.
You're so undateable.
Yeah, we're doing undateables. Don't wait till the third or fourth date to be honest about who you are. Before you've even gone on a date, bang, this is me. Away we go. You can register on our Facebook page, and we are in the middle of doing it right now with Sky. Thank you so much for being on with us.
Fine.
Now, Sky, we are going to introduce you to three guys that have seen your photo. They're really interested in going on a date with you. You have to see if you can pick which one you would like to go on a date with.
All right, here we go. Cool. Candidate number one.
Hey, Jade, my name's Scott. Good mate of mine sent me the link to B105's Undateables. Popped over, had a bit of a look. I actually thought it was an ad for Hungry Jack's because you're an absolute stunner. I'm 35. I'm a manager for Coles. I work hard and love what I do, but I also love my family. A huge part of my life is dedicated to helping raise my beautiful 5-year-old niece. I'd love to make some room and fit an undateable into that equation. Good luck, and I hope you find your undateable.
Ooh.
We're sorry about the name. We did say Sky, but well, I don't know. Maybe his friend sent the link wrong.
Maybe.
But he saw the photo of you.
Yeah.
I don't. The Hungry Jack's stunner? What's the stunner?
I don't know. Did they do a stunner meal?
There's a stunner meal, I think.
Ah, got it, because I was thinking a Whopper. I'm like, what is going on?
That was going somewhere.
He's got the Whopper.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, he's got your name wrong, but, you know.
Yeah.
Let's not let that get in the way of good time.
No.
Okay.
Guy number two.
Hi, my name's Robert, 38 years old, single. I'm just starting a new job in the NDIS industry, working with people with disabilities, and a bit of a family man, family orientated, love food, love sleep. Yeah, got some goals for 2024 and interested in getting to know you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. And guy number three.
Hi, my name's Darren. I'm 42. I work in property sales. For fun, I love my sport, love the Broncos, love the Lions, love getting into a game. I love hanging out with family and friends. My ideal partner is someone that's energetic, loves a good laugh, and can win on the banter front.
Oh, he's a banter man. Mm. Banter is important to Sky. Mm.
Talk us through your thoughts on those guys.
They all sound lovely. The first one, I mean, look, we can't hate him for the name thing, but... I myself am terrible with names, but the stunner pickup line kind of just too nice, gave me the ick.
Yeah, that's fine.
You did shoot a shot there, that could have gone either way. Yeah, yeah.
The second one, definitely have, when he said that he works with, I think the NDIS or the disability support, that really, really caught my eye. Because I do have a son that has special needs myself, so knowing that somebody that has that background, that sounds amazing.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. The third one also sounds lovely. I love that he has the banter and all that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I'll have to go with the second one.
Robert?
I love food and sleep as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm thinking Robert's the winner for this one.
Okay.
Robert, Sky has chosen you. Congratulations.
Thanks,
Mark. Sky, this is your opportunity to have a chat to Robert and reveal what you think makes you undateable.
Hi, Robert. My undateable quality is I'm into witchcraft. I kind of practice witchcraft and magic and all that sort of fun stuff.
Okay. That's not that bad.
Not that bad.
How much do you know about that, Robert? Like, any questions that you might have about what that involves? Because knowing most of my male friends, I think they'd go, cool, what is that?
Witchcraft, sorcery, I don't know, medieval times.
Harry Potter. Yeah.
Burning at the stake, is this what we're thinking?
Yeah.
Robert's not going to let a bit of witchcraft get in the way of a good hookup. That's by the sounds of this.
How would you describe some of the things, Sky, that you feel like has put guys off in the past?
I think normally when I tell them witchcraft, they straight away think the worst. They're like, oh no, like dark magic, like what is she going to do to me? Is she going to like text me? All that sort of stuff. Definitely not.
But you could.
I mean, I definitely could. Don't mess with me.
So one thing Sky told us, Robert, is that she does water her indoor plants with blood.
Oh, okay.
Robert's just so chill.
So that none of
not
that
your blood, blood, by the way, it's hers.
Hers.
Just
yes.
want to make that perfectly clear. I mean, I don't know.
That doesn't put you off, Robert?
Something different.
Something okay.
Okay, he's up for it. I love it.
I think Robert's a little doughy.
All right.
Good stuff, guys.
So would you say that, Robert, you're okay with this and you'd go on a date with Sky?
Yeah, no, that's fine.
That's fine.
Well, he sounds like a guy you're interested in, Sky.
Well done.
Amazing.
Good on you. Well, guys, we hope it all works out. Thank you so much for being part of our Undateables.
And let us know how it goes.
Yes, please.
Amazing. Thank you.
The B105 Breakfast Show with Stav, Abby and Matt.
Has he ever worked out what he wouldn't do?
I don't think so. Speak coherently.
What do you
by
think
it
is?
I think it's hidden in the song, actually. It was a whole thing for a while.
Oh, it still drives me nuts. Let's with that. Meatloaf, you know, I'll do it, but I won't do that. What won't he do?
Well, I think it's open enough that it really depends on the day.
Because my mind goes crazy, like of what he wouldn't do. And you're like,
meet your mother-in-law.
Nah, I don't know.
Won't do that.
I won't dress up like that. You know, so what do you... I don't know. Anyway.
That's a conversation for another day.
I like its openness that he could go, no, that's the thing. I said something yesterday, but that's actually the thing.
Yeah. It's just wrong, though. I'd do anything.
But I won't do that. It's like a little asterisk.
Yeah. I'd do almost anything.
You
should
didn't
be
read
the lyrics.
The fine print. I said I wouldn't do that. Off topic, but on topic. I came across a thing on the internet that I found very interesting, and I wanted to know if it's happened to anybody. 131060. It's a TikTok hashtag that's got 36.5 million views at this stage. And it comes from, sadly enough, I didn't know this until I started the chat. It comes from a Taylor Swift song. I apologize.
Why do you keep denying it?
What? That I'm a huge fan.
You are. You would.
Olivia
you,
Rodrigo for the win.
You were what? Yeah, and they're friends, mate.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like him.
You were watching the plane. Where she was. You knew all the stats. You're coming in every morning with glitter and friendship bracelets.
Maybe this will work out for me in the long run because it comes from the Taylor Swift song Invisible String, right? And it's called the Invisible String Theory. And what it is when you're with your partner and say you're going through old photos with him. He says, can I see your family photos? And you
which
go
would never happen.
You get
but
out
yep.
an album,
mm-hmm,
you
sure.
know,
yep.
and you're going through the old photos and then blow me down, bugger me. There's your boyfriend in the background of a photo of you at Disneyland.
That's incredible. I like the ones where they, like the guy never asked to look at the photos, by the way, but the parents are like, oh, I want to see if the baby looks like you as a baby. And they get out the photos and they went to kindy together.
Yeah.
They're the ones that I'm like, mind blown.
Yeah. And it doesn't have
they
to be.
They knew each other as 3-year-olds.
Mm.
It's a long play. He finally got her.
It did.
How romantic.
And it doesn't have to be relationship. It can also be friends as well. One poster on the hashtag described being born one day apart in the same hospital as their current best friend, but they didn't meet again until they were 11, and now they live together. And Chloe, who was 30 and her husband now 37, they went to holiday at Vegas at the same time, attended the same magic show, were on the strip when the clock turned midnight on New Year's Eve, even taking pictures of themselves on different sides of the fountain without ever bumping into one another. And
they weren't ready to meet.
No, that's the it's a whole mystical theory.
It isn't it?
That.
Yeah. Because I would have met Scott a few years earlier than what I did because I flown up to the Gold Coast from Sydney. And Scotty was living near my brother at the time, and my brother was having a party. And I went to the party really early because I was like, I don't really like your friends. So I went to the party. And I was like, I'm going to go back to the hotel. So I left at the front door, and in the back door, a group of very loud boys were coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And that was Scott. So I was leaving when he came in. That would have been a few years earlier.
And he missed him because he came in the back door.
Thank God, because those few years... partied were really fun.
Kat and I actually say that often if we'd have met at the
Thank
wrong
God,
time.
Because he really would have ruined my life.
You know?
Needed to get that out of my system.
Well, I just meant, like, I feel like maybe we were supposed to be together and blah, blah, blah. He's my soulmate, but I didn't want to settle down with my soulmate yet because I had time to live.
The universe goes, nah, she needs a bit of fun. Yeah. She needs to, let's put one.
And I think it can work the other way because Kat and I often reflect on if she'd have met me when I was in my X-Files, I haven't grown out of any of this, but and she was a goth wearing like crow makeup and going to
that
poetry
readings. That wouldn't have stopped you, though.
No.
The goth wouldn't have, but definitely.
The poetry might have.
No, it wouldn't have.
Smoking beady cigarettes and stuff. And
but definitely.
Cigarette.
So once you get in Bali, they're like.
Clove.
Clove, herbal. Oh.
Not beady ones, clove ones.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, right.
We'd be like, no, we would have walked straight past each other.
Yeah.
But do you, 131060, have a hidden string in your relationship where years after or you got together, you go, oh, bugger me. We were in a handball competition in 1982.
I even like it when the parents knew each other.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm. You know, like they meet each other and they're like, oh, my God, really? Wow, that's
so weird. Oh, my God, your brother and sister.
No. I'll take that if anyone wants to.
Well, I think you would find that might happen. Like you bring home someone to meet your parents and then you maybe realize that your parents dated at some point in the past as well.
Yeah.
Calls are coming through.
Nathan and Kavulcha, what's your invisible string story?
Yeah, g'day, guys. I was actually married to my wife about 8 years ago, and we were looking through some old photo albums, and she had, I had a picture of a car that my dad had sponsored when I was probably around 6 years old. He was standing beside the car, and it was one of those rotary cars that travel around the countryside.
Yeah,
remember those. Rallies and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was for a good cause. I can't remember exactly what it was back then. Yeah. But then she goes, hey, that's my dad's car. And I was like, what do you mean? And she's like, well, that's my dad's car from years ago, when I was a wee kid.
Wow.
And I was absolutely stunned. Anyway, we showed her father and he goes, yeah, that's my car.
Wow.
And she was 3 years old, I was about 6 years old, and we hung out together apparently, and we didn't even know each other.
Wow.
32 years later or so.
How good. That's
good. It's a small world, isn't it?
Sure is.
Claire and Ningi, do you have a hidden string?
I do. When I was 5, I lived in a street in London, which was in Battersea. It's called Sabine. And I went to the Queen's coronation in 1977. I was sitting on the pavement waving my flag. And then the street party after, I was the Queen of Tarts.
Of course you were.
And then many years later, down in Putney in the pub, I saw this really cute guy with beautiful blue eyes. Took my fancy, so I asked him out, invited him to my 18th birthday party, and years later, we are still married today. He lived on the same street as me. He was at the same coronation. He was at the same street party with his brother as Bill and Ben.
Wow.
I wanted to know what he went as. That's great. Yeah. Wow.
And we are still married today. And his mum's name was Joyce Anne, and my mum's name's Joyce Anne.
Wow. And how did you discover that he lived on the same street?
We were just chatting one day about photos, and there was a picture of me sitting on the pavement waving my flag as the Queen went past.
And he's like, that's my street.
Oh, my gosh. I was at the same party with my brother.
Wow.
How cool.
Yeah.
Katie's there. Hi, Katie. We're talking about the invisible string.
Morning, guys.
Morning. What's your hidden string?
Invisible.
I used to live in London back in 2015, and my husband now went on a Kentucky back then, and we were both happened to be staring at the Eiffel Tower on opposite sides on the same night and didn't look down and see each other.
How do you know it was the same night?
Facebook memories.
Oh, of course.
Come up and go, you were here.
What?
Wow. Oh, there you
so
go.
That would...
Like, oh, I was in Paris. And I was like, me too. And then we looked at our photos and we're on opposite
sides.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So were you in each other's photos at all? Or you just knew that you were on opposite sides?
Yes, because we were at the Arc de Triomphe around the same time too. So I'm still looking to see if he's in the back of one with his group.
Wow. That's crazy when it pops up. You're like, mine popped up. Mine popped up. Yeah. We didn't know each other. We were there.
Good on you, Katie. And Kylie, 13, 10, 60, Invisible Strings. What's yours?
Yeah, so in the first few months of dating my husband, I was invited to a family gathering of his, and I saw a photo that I recognised a lady, which turned out to be his auntie. He turned around to me and said, I said, oh my goodness, how do you know this family? And he's like, oh, it's my auntie. So he proceeded to have a moment when I named all the five children in the family.
Wow.
And it turns out they were my neighbours, two houses up, for 15 years. But the cracker is, when I was 10 and 11 years old, I'd go up and hold the newborn babies that were in the family, and we worked out that I held my husband when I was 10 or 11 as a baby.
Wow.
So you're 10 years older and you were holding him as a baby?
Yes.
Wow. Great story. Terrible pickup line.
You loved him from the word go. Oh, my God.
Wow.
You're an actual cradle snatcher.
Wow. And if you stay together long enough, you'll be changing his nappies
no,
again.
No, stop. 10 years.
The B105 Breakfast Show with Stav, Abby and Matt.
One of Australia's most in-demand health, lifestyle and well-being speakers, Michael Cargreg.
What happened at Bondi Junction on Saturday where six people have lost their lives and there's still a dozen who are in hospital, and it is so tragic, and it's something so unusual for us to be how to deal with in Australia. You know, even just talking about it, where you're like, why didn't this happen? Why didn't this happen? You got all these questions and you're like, the honest is that we're not used to dealing with something like that, and we hope that we don't have to again. But it's the thing of, we're all talking about it because it is so unusual and it's so tragic and we're so upset and affected by it, but how does it affect our children? And I guess for me, I've spoken about it with the eldest, but not with the others. And I don't really know how to, because I was trying to be like, it is so unusual.
Mm.
You know that this doesn't always happen all the time, but how do you give that reassurance when it has?
Yeah.
And to find out how we speak to the kids, and maybe there are kids in the car driving to school right now, Dr. Michael Cargreg, who's a child and adolescent psychologist. Good morning. And can you tell us, how do we deal with it? How do we tell our kids of what's going on?
Good morning and thank you for having me. Look, I think we have to create a safe, supportive environment where they feel okay about answering our questions. We are honest and age appropriate. We spend a lot of time validating their feelings and we offer age appropriate explanations. For younger children, we should use simple and concrete explanations, while for older children, they might actually benefit from a more detailed discussion.
Mm.
But bad things happen to good people is a pretty simple explanation to kids.
Mm. Would it also be, I guess there wouldn't be any trouble with when they ask a question, because, you know, there's so many things that defy explanation to just go, well, we don't actually know that. Like, why did he do that? Well, we don't actually know. You know, that's the honest answer, I guess.
It is. I think there's some things that we need to use as a sort of teachable moment. Mm. That is that the police were awesome,
mm-hmm.
because I think that's a good message.
Yeah.
They're reliable and helpful people, and that there's still wonderful people in the world who are willing to put their life on the line. And the second message is that that sort of thing doesn't happen here very often, which is why we're talking about it.
Mm.
And Australia is one of the safest countries in the world.
True.
Another conversation I had with my eldest is me saying that he was a very sick man, and we talked about the mental health one, which is really, I never want it to be excusable, you know, because we're talking about mental health so much, and that sort of covers anything from anyone who could be, you know, depressed or going through troubles. And then we've got the other side of it where I've had to speak about schizophrenia for the first time. How do you discuss that with children?
Such a good question. We have to explain that there are things called mental illnesses, and that's where your thoughts, your feelings and your behaviours interfere with your life. There's depression, there's anxiety, but there's also a group of illnesses called psychoses, and they're very rare and they're treatable, but sometimes people might not take their medication, and in those cases they might do some things which they don't realise they're doing. That's the explanation I give.
Mm. One of the things that was publicised everywhere was the amazing father who grabbed face masks and covered up his children's eyes as he was getting them out of the Westfield. Which, what an amazing man to think of that in that sort of situation.
I would have.
No, not at all. But I think we don't watch the news in our house because I don't like my children to see the images. Is that something as well to be really careful of? Like if you're sitting there watching the news and you don't think your child's watching, they're doing something else, but they look up and they see a man running around with a knife?
Absolutely. We should limit exposure to media. I think children under five in particular have a right to know the world's a safe place. Mm-hmm. They don't have the emotional cognitive capacity to understand the details of the event anyway. So limiting exposure is absolutely critical. For the older kids, be guided by their curiosity. If they ask a question, give an age-appropriate response.
Because one thing I think I'm underestimating is how much us adults talk. You forget that the kids talk. Mm. And you would know that, having dealt with them. But you kind of go, they come up with their own stories, and I don't feel like I'm the biggest influence in my eldest. It's more to do with their friends. Mm. So should we be at the forefront of it, of discussing it with elder kids before they go to school?
Absolutely. I think that your capacity to control the narrative goes out the window once they're at school. Mm. So I think it is up to you to give the key messages around safety, the mental health component, and the heroism of the police.
Yeah, I forget about the heroism. You kind of think you want to have some sort of positive of it, and there were so many people that stepped forward and were amazing. Mm. Yeah.
A little bit away from the, I guess, explaining of children, Michael, and that is, there's also that weird thing to think about when you see the parents being interviewed, that was their child and they love him, you know, and they love him like parents. Psychologically, how would they be what would be a way for them to deal with that? Because that's two very different emotions. They're very much condemning what he did at the same time. Mm. Like, to juggle something like that?
Oh, it's devastating. And we all feel for them. I do as a parent. Mm. Bottom line is that it's not their responsibility. This was about the mental health care system in Australia, which is in a woeful state. Mm. And that's actually the real story behind this. Mm. The fact that we just don't put enough money into mental health, and everybody should be writing to their local MPs, federal MPs, and asking for more money.
Well, thank you for your time this morning. We do really appreciate it.
It's an absolute pleasure.
Thank you.
Dr. Michael Carr-Gregg, a child and adolescent psychologist on the air here at B105.
The B105 Breakfast Show with Stav, Abby and Matt.
Maddie's going the distance. Raising lots of money. He's gonna walk, gonna walk Dakota Trail in PNG.
Did walk. Yeah. Mm. Walk done and dusted. I was feeling really good, actually. Did wake up with a bit of an ouchy knee today.
Oh, yeah.
For the first time.
Okay. You had all the adrenaline going through your body. Yeah. You're still on a bit of a high, and now you're on the...
I didn't ask that, actually, because you landed yesterday.
Sunday night. Yeah.
But when did the walk finish? On the Friday, or was it the Saturday?
Saturday.
Wow, it's a quick turnaround.
Yeah.
It's not a far flight. Papua New Guinea. You forget how close it is to
yeah.
it.
Mm. Yeah.
People do.
Okay.
Yeah.
People do they?
Yeah, the jet
Would
ski.
You like to swim it?
I don't want to swim it.
That sounds like an next challenge, swim. Doesn't it?
Long swim. Yeah, it's a bit over 3 hours, the flight, which is good, just enough to watch a few episodes of a show, have a hot meal,
yeah,
have a beer. It was good.
Diggers would do it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's exactly what I thought, just what they did on the way home. But there was so many things that happened on this trip, and it was honestly one of the most amazing things I've ever done in my life.
Yeah.
But it's the people that make it as well. And on the trip, a doctor comes along, and he was really cool. Callum was his name. Mm. Dr. Hollywood was
why
his nickname.
Hollywood?
That's just what the...
Was he a good-looking guy?
Yeah, he's a handsome dude.
Well, that's why they would say Hollywood.
That's what all the porters call him, Doc Hollywood.
Maybe they just know the movie.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah. So one night I was coming back from the toilet, and he walks past with his kit, and he says... Go and grab your GoPro.
Oh, no. You never want to hear a doctor say that.
Because we're going to do some stuff.
Nah.
Did he say it with excitement?
Yeah. He said, like, there's a bit of stuff.
So you were already the social media guy who was filming everything, and he was like, you're going to want to see this.
So I was like, hang on, can you give me, like, 2 seconds? He goes, well, like, don't take too long. So I've hightailed it over to my tent.
Will stop, so hurry up.
So did you have the GoPro on your head with the little eye? That was you?
Head torch on.
Of course, yeah.
I've grabbed the GoPro. And of course, you heard a little bit of this yesterday when Matt, the lead tracker, came on, was talking to us about the Porter Willie, who I beat in the race, but I only beat him because he stabbed himself. So this is Doc Hollywood telling us about what he had to do to Willie, one of the porters.
The boy's got a pig, and so they're just trying to prepare it for dinner now. And Willie, he slipped with his knife and he's put it right into his leg. So it's quite a deep cut. So what we're going to have to do, dirty wound, big dirty knife as well. Yeah. So we're going to just irrigate it and wash it, lots and lots of saline, try and get all the stuff out of it. We'll just put some local in and then we're just going to stitch it back up. Should be a little bit of fun. Willie's a bit of a wuss, so we'll watch him carry on. But but after that, I think it'll be, I think he'll be happy to be stitched up.
Now, while that is all fine and good for Willie,
yeah,
did that must have, like, made you nervous? Like, you realise then if anything happens, I'm getting this done here in the jungle.
That's exactly right. Mm. So Willie is sitting there with a few of us standing around, and I've never seen local anaesthetic go in before. Mm. I thought it was just like, in it goes, and then they just go sunk, and that numbs the whole area. They actually shove it into the wound, and then they move it up, and they, like, scooch around.
So local anaesthetic is really, that's what I just had on my toe.
Yeah, the
when
numbing.
I went to the podiatrist, and she's like, do you want me to do it? And I was like, she's like, local anaesthetic hurts, by the way. And I was like, I'll be fine. But it's like the massage in. It's a weird thing. It's interesting to
it's watch. Hectic. Yeah. Hectic. So we do that. He stitches up Willie. We're like, oh, that was a bit of excitement.
Fun. How many stitches?
He put four in it.
Wow.
Four in it. He was actually cutting the head of the pig. Mm. So they bought
the
head.
Yeah, you made it sound like he was just playing with a little bit of a thing and stabbed himself. Like, he had to...
It was a machete.
Kill it wild. Mm. Yeah.
Well, they bought the head off another guy on the track.
Right.
And they were turning it into a stew.
Mm.
Anyway, about 15 minutes later, Doc Hollywood goes...
GoPro, we need you, mate.
Gabby, grab GoPro, we're back on.
Wow.
And it was like, at this point, the whole camp was around because Tessa, one of the girls, needed something done to her.
Mm.
And there's no TV. This was Grey's Anatomy for us.
Yeah.
So this is the same night, in the same hour, just before bed, another operation happens.
Tess, you were the entertainer.
Sorry, wrong one.
No. I'm not sure whether this is necessary or you're just having fun now, but you've got the gloves back on and the knife is back out.
Yep. I've found an excuse. So Tess has got this big abscess on her leg, which just started out as a little bite, but we're actually going to have to cut into it now and get all of the pus out. There's going to be quite the mother load in there, so we're going to get the scalpel and we're going to put some local in and we're going to see what we can find.
Is this like game day for a doctor?
This is the most fun I've had on this trek thus far. I never get to do this stuff.
This is Dr. Pimple Popper stuff.
It is good. It's good to watch pus come out. Is that bad?
Got my laptop over there and I've loaded it up to the part where it happens. This is just tap the space bar.
Oh, no, I tapped it a while ago, by the way.
Oh.
Yeah. Yep. That's a lot of pus. So what did she do? Was it a cart?
Got bitten.
Got bitten.
Oh, she got bit.
Here we go, squeezing. Oh, yeah, that'll feel good. That'll ease the pain.
Yeah, because they hurt, don't they, when they have pus in it?
Yeah.
Now, at this point...
Yeah.
Someone fainted?
It was all coming out.
Yes, it is.
And then Tessa was taking it like a champion. Mm. You know, I was cracking jokes going, I'll send you the footage, you can show it to your boss, because she actually works with the trekking company. She's like, ha ha ha.
And then did it kick in?
And then she goes... I think I need some water.
Yeah.
Need some water. She grabs her water. And then Matt, who is the head trekker, is a nurse.
Mm.
He walks in and goes, right, everyone get out. So we all just scat and she lays down.
Wow.
And then they sort her out and she was fine.
Did she faint?
She fainted. No, I didn't faint. She
would have fainted.
She was on the edge.
Yeah. Probably what didn't carry on was you know, like, hey, oh my God, oh, Tessa, we're going to go. And she's like,
no, we were all into it.
Yeah. But I love that you would have ran away. You had the light on there and you go.
No. Well, I was told to leave.
Matt, come back. Shut your eyes, but look.
I left the GoPro in the corner secretly.
Wow. Yeah. Good stuff, hey?
He didn't have to stitch that up after, did he?
Nah.
No, no, that one, because he had to each day. That was like we had 3 days left. Each day he would just, the poor thing, Tess would have to lay down and he would just keep squeezing.
Squeezing it out like a boil. Yeah.
So,
Good times.
Good times. I recommend it to anyone.
The B105 Breakfast Show with Stav, Abby and Matt.
I need to find love.
Tinder, Bumble, Hinge, RSVP. People still use that one. I don't know.
Am I going out on the old website?
The old website.
I think they're still around, aren't they?
They are, because you've got to remember, people are dating from all different ages.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know how many else. Anyways, this is the whole thing. If you are, what's your snap? If you're single and you have been on these dating websites and you've got these messages that you're like, are you for real? This is your opening line. Please, come on. We would love to hear from you. You can record it, send it through to us. Mm. And this is just for the people that aren't on the dating sites, just to get a little bit of a snapshot of what you have to deal with.
Mm.
All right, here we go. First one that has been sent through to us.
Okay.
Want to have good sex? No? Come to my place tonight.
It's a good one because each answer has, she says yes and you're already there. And when she says no, she's still coming over. I like that.
I love how the guys like it more than anyone else. You're like, oh, I already thought of that. That's real humour. I'm gonna bet $100 on that she did not say, I'm going to come over.
When you were single and there were none of the apps around, would guys...
None of the apps around. Thanks, mate.
Anyway, well, none of the apps were around when I was single.
Yeah,
either. Okay.
Yeah. I think I was single when you would have been in a relationship longer than me. Scotty and I didn't meet each other.
Well, okay, say pre-Tinder.
Yes, yeah.
Which you were on the dating scene for. Would guys come up to you and say stuff like this brazenly to your face?
Yeah, people would do pickup lines. I remember one guy coming up and trying to smash two ice cubes in front of me and it was getting everywhere.
Break the ice.
And he goes, so what are you doing? He goes, sorry, I'm just trying to break the ice.
Brilliant.
I was like,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, right.
Back when I was single, we had tablets.
So you would chisel it in?
Yep.
Could you just wait here in 15 minutes?
Yeah.
I've got something for you to read.
I don't think
pickup lines ever work. They're more guys enjoy them.
Mm.
Yeah, the other guys enjoy guys.
And girls might appreciate them, but I don't think they've ever worked.
No.
Mm.
Unless I really like Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah, it depends on who they're coming from, doesn't it? That's true.
You said what? Doesn't matter. Shh.
If you want to send these through to us, you do it via Facebook.
A phone, 3837-1234. Give us a call, lay it down.
Very good.
Or send us your snap.
Or hit us up on snap. Bruh.
All right, here's
Hey, yo, girl. Let me get up in them guts.
Wow.
That's it?
That's enough, isn't it?
That didn't work.
No, well, I know she seems to be enjoying it. Listen to
her. Hey, yo, girl, let me get up in them guts.
No, girls she's are disgusting. Like sharing them.
Yeah. Oh, she's laughing at him, not with
him?
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
See what I got.
Wonder if they're listening. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What do you mean it didn't work?
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
If you were a Transformer, you'd be Optimus fine.
Now, I mean, that's just good.
No, it's not, Staff. That is not.
Maybe at Comic-Con.
Yeah. See? Pick your battles. Yeah.
Would that work on you?
On me? Yeah. No, go, oh, you want to come home and see my collection? I can transform it in the same time it makes the noise. Look at me go. Match made in heaven.
Okay. If you want to send these through, whatever's been text to you, call 3837-1234. Read out your message there and we'll play them on air. These are actual Tinder pickup lines that people have been sent.
I think I should call you Wrench, because when I look at you, my nuts tighten.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
So disappointing that there's no women sending them. Really? You know?
Do you think that any of those women would come up with a...
Oh, Wrench.
Her pickup line would be, hi...
Hello. What's your plans for the future?
Feel my pulse. Yeah, I got one.
3837-1234. Send them in.
The B105 Breakfast Show with Stav, Abby and Matt.
What do I always say, Abby?
Oh, God, you got a lot of sayings.
Let's go for it and we'll see if
not
you can
as much
it.
As many. What do you...
Your main one that comes to mind with you is try anything once, twice... If it doesn't hurt,
I'll do anything once, twice if I don't cramp up.
Yeah.
Grandpa.
There's that one.
There's mm-hmm. that one. He has one about like he can't have a day off of fitness because what is that if you?
It's just an excuse.
It's just an excuse.
And then you got to stay in that.
Give me a theme. Like what sort of topic are we?
None of this is real. Like none of this matters.
Oh,
is that
yeah.
the other one?
Eating's yeah. cheating.
Eating's cheating. Sleeping's cheating.
Okay. Yeah. Which one are we talking about?
None of those.
Nicotine's good for you.
That's Which, not that one.
Okay.
But these are all right. The one that I do...
Sunscreen? Don't get me started on the sunscreen.
Don't get you started
Because that
on
is incorrect.
You can build up a tolerance to sunlight.
It is so incorrect.
Not that one.
Okay. I know.
Yes.
I know. Donald Trump is the best president that America has ever seen.
Oh, I love that
and
one.
If I was an American citizen, I would vote for him.
I think he said don't say that one publicly. He just likes to have that.
Took the words right out of my mouth.
Help us out here.
Not that one.
Because we can keep making them up.
Yeah.
The one that I do like, that I am always...
Right eventually.
Always right eventually.
Yeah, if you say enough stupid comments and so vague and then we try to follow it up and he's like, that one's already done. Move on to that.
Always right eventually. Which is really annoying because by the time everyone else is on the same page, they don't remember that I was right way back then.
Yeah, but it's so vague statements. Like outdoor showers are amazing. And yep. then when people have it, you're like, oh, I'm right eventually. I'm like, you just...
They're coming back.
Yeah.
See, I'm a man ahead of my time is the problem.
Okay. But he doesn't have a point. But so what's the point of an outdoor shower?
Well, I'm not doing it to like forward my opinions onto the world.
You
it
are.
Just so happens that the world eventually comes around to my opinions. Don't even get me started on how Guy Sebastian has completely stolen my fashion look at the moment. But
oh, well, you think he dresses like you?
Uh-huh, 100%.
He's been rocking that way before you. His wife is a stylist, remember? And he had a...
He's been dressing terribly for a long time.
Wow. No, he had the granddad style, which, can, to be fair, Macklemore put it out before you.
So a survey...
Okay.
Here we go.
You started
...has revealed that the position that many men... in the US and UK, we in.
Oh, is... sitting down. Oh, for God's sake, Stav.
What is incorrect?
So they should all...
And if you want to effectively
I can't
empty
say
your bladder, sit down wees are the best way to go. And I'm not alone in this. 60% of Germans generally sit down. They did a study over the course of the world. I'm not even alone in Australia. Out of about 10, 15 countries, Germany was first, and Canada came in at fourth, and Australia came in at fifth.
I thought you did it because you're embarrassed.
To be embarrassed? No, it's just too heavy.
That's why you went into the cubicle.
Falling into the urinal.
And I thought if you're that proud and you're proud of what you do, why don't you open the cubicle door when you go so that you can show all the men how it should be done?
I could do that.
I doubt you won't.
No, because they wouldn't. They would think that I was pooing, and that's just not right.
No, but they would be out of sea.
Yeah.
And just go, hey, mate, this is how it should be done. Thank you so much.
Should I get like a sash and stand by the urinals? Just be like, no, into the stall with you, the stall. Yeah, but it's scientifically done, and it's he's a urologist, obviously, consultant urologist surgeon at Alexandra Hospital. He says the sitting down position is probably the most efficient way to properly empty your bladder.
It is true for women, because I don't know about your appendix as much, but I know that when I went to a women's physio, and especially throughout pregnancy and being able to do it right, you should lean forward.
Mm.
While you're sitting?
Yeah, while you're sitting, because that's a position where it will completely empty your bladder, because you shouldn't just go just in case, because you go to the toilet a lot.
I do.
Which I don't know if you're the poster person for how correct it is to sit down then, because you don't hold on to your bladder that long.
But I do drink a lot of water. I think it's comparatively...
They say that you should hold... Like, when you went to a specialist, they give you a pan so that you can measure
how much you're going,
because you shouldn't be going just in case. I don't know.
Right.
I don't know if it's true that you can train your bladder.
I don't think you can.
See, I don't know what it is about getting the middle aisle seat of an aeroplane. As soon as you sit in it, you're like, I think I need to
wait. Oh, it's a panic.
Even if you've just weed, like,
because you're sitting down.
How is it when you're busting to go to the toilet when you're driving home and you're like, I'm not going to make it through the door? You get through the door, something distracts you. You go and get a snack from the fridge. You sit down, you watch Instagram, you forget you need to go to the toilet. No, Two seconds later, you were busting.
I find the worst one is, I don't know if it happens to women as much as men. Does it? I'll ask you because you're a girl.
Thank you.
When you wake up in the middle of the night and you need to go, but you don't want to get out of bed. And you just lie there in pain, not being able to sleep, but you still don't get up and go to the bathroom.
That's an old man thing.
Is it?
But yeah, but I mean, I do it, but I didn't. I thought it might have been a pregnancy thing, like once you have kids.
What
you
a
know?
Way to reveal.
No, I meant, like, stop something.
Just slip that big news under
there. So just checking, before we move on, you want this added to the list of things we
that
put
you
in your
right
eulogy?
About?
In your eulogy?
Urology. Urologist. Urology.
The B105 Breakfast Show with Stav, Abby and Matt.
Hey, tomorrow when we are live on the radio, it'll be April 17. Here are three of your answers to play Alpha Bucks at 8 a.m. for $10,000.
Your letter is S for Stav, and some of your answers are Subway, Senorita and Sardine.
Right up. See you tomorrow.
Bye-bye.
Stav, Abby and Matt, the B105 Breakfast Show.